Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My guest is George Del Preet, a principal at Grant Thornton and the leader of the Federal CIO Survey put on by the Professional Services Council and Grant Thornton. George, this is our annual talk. Always glad to catch up.
Jason, it's great to see you. Thanks for speaking with me.
So let's just start with some of the basics of the survey. This is something you guys have done, I think, 26 years in a row now. It seems like the more things change, the more they stay the same. Give me some initial thoughts around the survey. What were some of the findings that either were surprising or maybe not so surprising this year?
Every year we do the survey, I'm always curious to see what the priorities are of CIOs. We always start every survey with some open-ended questions around that. And as we pulled the results from this year, we saw a lot of similarities in the priorities this year as in previous years. Things like cybersecurity, legacy systems modernization, dealing with the workforce and IT acquisition were all topics that we've been talked about in previous years. One of the new ones that we've talked about but wasn't a top priority in previous years was cloud. So when you look at those issues, CIOs are still working on, I call them sort of marathon issues. You don't wave a wand and solve the cybersecurity problem. It takes lots of focus and many years to solve that. And I think, you know, you could go through each of those different priorities, and there are nuances that we talked about from previous years. One example would be in cybersecurity. I think most CIOs felt like they made some very good progress over the course of the last year. There's been more adoption of DHS's CDM program, and there has been some great collaboration as a result of the cyber sprints last summer. So there's more dialogue and talking among the CIO community. Another thing that's, you know, different in that space is we're hearing a lot more about the cyber talent gap. And to me, that's a grave challenge that I think the federal IT community needs to address.
So a lot to pull there. Let me start with cybersecurity, since that obviously is the top priority of any CIO. One thing that I've seen around cybersecurity is the results of the cyber sprint, the impact of that sprint from last year, and how it has it lasted into 2016 and beyond. What did the survey find out about that lasting imprint of the cyber sprint?
The key takeaway, as I alluded to, is that there is more of a community focus on attacking the cyber issue now. CIOs are collaborating, they're sharing information on the kinds of threats that they're seeing and what kinds of resolutions work to mitigate those threats. It's not to say that that didn't happen before the cyber sprint, but it's now more commonplace, and I think that's a good thing.
Did the CIOs talk anything about the senior leadership engagement? Did the idea of it's not just a CIO problem, but an agency problem, did that come out from the survey in the post-cyber sprint world?
Absolutely. That was definitely a big topic of conversation. Every CIO that we spoke with said that this is a secretary-level issue in our organization. It's not a technology issue. It's really an issue that we need to focus on, and I think most CIOs feel like they're getting the level of support they need at the highest levels of their agencies.
We heard at the Tech Trends conference that put on by PSC that Grant Thornton unveiled the findings of your survey at, that one of the big issues is kind of the CDM program, the Continuous Diagnostics Mitigation Program from DHS, the Einstein program. And we heard from OPM's Cliff Triplett, who said, you know, we're the first agency to really implement Einstein 3. We're as far as we can be with CDM. Did the CIOs, when you surveyed them, talk a little bit about those programs and the impact of those programs, whether it's Einstein or CDM, or just more generally the tools and capabilities out there? Are they meeting their needs? Are they investing? The threat continues to go up. How did all that kind of come out in the survey?
We did talk about CDM specifically in that program, less so about Einstein. But with respect to CDM, 3/4 of the folks that we talked with said that it was a huge help to their organization. It hasn't been rolled out to every agency. You know, we talked to some and they said, you know, we love to have it, but we don't. We're anxiously awaiting. But I think the overall results and feedback were very positive about that. I think the big concern that folks have is that this program has essentially been funded. Now that it's operationalized, that funding that hasn't been in agency budgets is needed going to come from somewhere. So there needs to be sustainment to put into to continue these programs and investments that have been made.
And one of the things that came up is the idea of the threat has increased, something to the effect of, I think you guys found 25% increase in the threat vectors and the types of threats, but funding hasn't necessarily met that same in terms of increase to deal with those increased threats.
That's right. Every year we ask, you know, CIOs to tell us the extent of threat increase that they've experienced, from 0% to 5 to 10%, greater than 25% or 50% or more. And 67% of the CIOs that we spoke with said they had an increase, this is a lot of percentages here, of more than 25%, right? So with respect to funding, although it's easier to get funding for cybersecurity now, the increases have not been quite that great. 60% of CIOs said that their cybersecurity funding increased between 0 and 25%, right? So the majority of CIOs have a threat greater than 25%, funding between 0 and 25% increase.
What kind of comments did CIOs talk about when it came to funding? Did they offer any reason why? Is it a congressional issue or an O&M versus DME, which we'll talk about, the legacy system issue? Did they offer any insights?
No. The only thing that really jumps out is I think that most CIOs felt like it's actually easier to get funding for cyber now than it was. So whereas last year, I think the 0 to 25% increase was even smaller than it is this year. So we're moving in the right direction.
Good news for any CIO who's trying to get funding. Let's move over to the cyber workforce piece, because I think that's another critical gap that CIOs highlighted. Finding the right people, hiring the right people, and then keeping those people who have those skill sets. Talk a little bit about what the survey found.
Yeah, and that to me was one of the biggest challenges that I think CIO shared with us, was that there's a tremendous talent gap right now. A study by the National Cyber Alliance reported that there's 49,000 CISSP job openings. There's only 65,000 CISSPs to begin with, and pretty much they're all employed. So that's a national issue that needs to be addressed. There are some efforts going on right now in the NICE framework to categorize the roles of CIO workers, but more needs to be done to expand the hiring authorities so that they can have competitive pay with the private sector. And then the other issue was there needs to be more investment in training. Cyber workers that have cutting-edge skills need to continually be trained in the newest tools. And most CIOs felt like the level of investment that was being made in training right now was not sufficient, and there needs to be improvements there.
The training issue is probably partly left over from the sequestration days where funding hasn't come back, but it's also an issue of, is there training available and do they have the people? Can they spare the people to go to the training because cybersecurity is so critical? One of the things that also came up around training was this idea of, once you hire somebody, can you keep them? Talk a little bit about what the CIO said about the retaining of cybersecurity workers and the difficulties there.
That's a tough one. As an industry person, I know that we have difficulty retaining our own people. Everybody does in industry. There's so much competition for so few workers that that the pays are very high and it's tough to be competitive. CIO said that they actually are taking staff from one another or losing folks to other agencies as well as to industry because of pays and more opportunities in different agencies. So that's an issue that CIOs feel needs to be addressed.
And they highlighted the need for, why does one agency have some hiring authorities or pay authorities and it's not government-wide? I think that was a common theme that said, well, if you're going to offer this special authority to one, why not offer to all?
Yes, absolutely. One CIO said, why don't I have the same authority that this other organization has to pay more for cyber workers? Is their mission more important than I? I don't think so. I mean, I think the mission is important to everybody. But I would recommend that as, OMB and others sort of look at the cyber talent gap, and I think the cyber workforce strategy addresses some of this, they look specifically at the kinds of people that they need and where they can get those folks from, and the kinds of investments they'll need to be able to provide adequate retention for them in different parts of the organization and agencies.
What's the big takeaway from the cybersecurity discussion? Are things better? Are agencies still struggling? When you look at all these results together around cybersecurity and what the CIO said, what's your big takeaway?
We've gotten better, but it's a marathon. One CIO said it's a never-ending bug hunt. We're trying to figure out what the bad guys are doing and have they done it to us. So it's something that they need to be continually vigilant for, and that it's going to take continued require focus. I think another big takeaway, one agency mentioned that every month they produce 70 terabytes of log files from their CDM tools. How do you mine that? What sort of analytic approaches do you have to make sense of that information? To me, that's one of the scary things. And I've talked about this for a couple of years in the surveys. I think the cyber analytics piece of those tools, there's a gap there that needs to be addressed.
Very interesting. We're going to take a quick break. We can come back. We're going to talk about other things like legacy modernization, FITAR, and the like. My guest is George Telpreet, a principal with Grant Thornton and the leader of the 26th annual Federal CIO Survey. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest is George Telpreet, a principal with Grant Thornton and the leader of the 2016 Federal CIO Survey brought to you by Grant Thornton and Professional Services Council. George, before we get into the next areas, just talk a little bit about the survey a little bit, how many people took part. This is done through interviews, through surveys. Just give me some of the basics.
We've been doing this for 26 years with the Professional Services Council for the last two. What we typically do is at the beginning of the year, we put together a task force of PSC survey members, and we work on coming up with the kinds of topics that we think are of interest to the community. We get some feedback from some CIOs that we have relationships with, and that we use that to design our survey instrument. And then we conduct interviews over about a six-month period. We conducted them from March through September of this year. This year, we interviewed 41 staff from 23 different agencies, and they represent primarily executive branch agencies, and we did have some participation from the Office of Management and Budget as well.
Excellent. So wide breadth of CIOs, interesting topics. One of the big topics that came up, a big priority, legacy systems modernization. We know a big push from the Office of Management and Budget. Tony Scott said recently something to the effect of $7 billion worth of technology will be outdated or be considered old in the next 5 years. So obviously it's just an area that every CIO is focusing on. What'd you learn from the survey about legacy systems?
Yeah, this is a number two priority that we saw from CIOs. It's been something that we've talked about for a few years, but there's been some great developments in the dialogue here with OMB pushing the creation of an IT modernization fund of over $3 billion to help kickstart some investment around this. OMB obviously came out with a draft policy too, asking agencies to think about modernizing IT investment. So it's been top of mind for the last year. Feedback was good. CIOs really appreciate the dialogue around this issue. We asked CIOs what they felt about the fund. I think overall, you know, views were mixed. Everybody liked the idea of having money. They were mixed only because $3.1 billion didn't really seem like enough. There are also some questions about how the fund would potentially be paid back and the mechanics around that. But I think overall, CIOs are very supportive of the push that OMB's had on this issue. And there's been some interesting movement on the Hill with a couple bills, one recently passing the Modernization and Government Act, passing a House just last week that would create working capital funds in different agencies and also a fund to support the modernization. So we're seeing some good movement there, and hopefully we'll see some adoption at the Senate as well.
The other thing about legacy systems is the spending. We always talk about O&M versus DME, operations and maintenance, development, modernization, enhancement. Are you finding, did the CIO say how much they're spending in those areas? Is the pendulum swinging back towards the DME?
Not yet, no. We have not seen much of a change over the last few years. You know, a number of organizations published studies on the breakdown between operation and maintenance spending and DM&E spending. And what we found is pretty consistent with what you see published. 73% of the CIOs we interviewed said they spend 73% of their money on O&M and 27% on DM&E. And that's not the mix that they think is sustainable and needs to change.
And that's interesting because I know the federal IT dashboard shows a little bit of a better progress, I think something like 68%. So it's interesting that where's the disconnect happening? You heard from the panel earlier in the PSC Tech Trends event, Richard McKinney saying we found so much IT at the Department of Transportation that we didn't really know that we had that much IT going on. Did that idea of shadow IT, of knowing where you're spending money, did that come up during the discussions you had with CIOs?
Absolutely. We talked about it a lot in the context of FITARA. But let me first say that we only interviewed 41 CIOs right now, so that could account for some of the discrepancies. It was really a back-of-the-envelope calculation, but it's fairly close. But in terms of, you know, shadow IT does exist. And I think Vitara has helped many CIOs start to have a better transparency into IT spending across the organization. So we're seeing that. We're definitely hearing that. It's going to be a long journey for CIOs to totally have perspective on all the spending that happens in the organizations. But across the CIOs community, within a federated agency, as an example, there's better collaboration around spending. There's still some spending going on in the programs that they're not aware of, but I think overall there's been substantial improvements in understanding that spending and then taking action to spend it better.
And I think the Vitara results play right into this legacy modernization, because one of the things that was highlighted in the Vitara was in terms of satisfaction with Vitara implementation, CIOs seem fairly satisfied with it, and also what's coming from it, meaning stronger relationships with the C-suite community. Talk a little bit about what CIOs said about implementation.
Every CIO that we spoke with were supportive of Vitara. You know, it's created a dialogue among the executives in the C-suite about how they're spending money on IT, and that's been very positive. There's been some very good collaboration, you know, across those parts of the executive suite, so that agencies have a better handle on the IT spending. So that's all been positive. But in terms of the long-term transformation to, you know, have one board approve all IT spending, that's going to be a transformation that takes a long time to occur. One CIO said, the question is not whether we should do Vitara, it's how we do it. So there's still some mechanics of how it's being operationalized in agency that I think CIOs are navigating through right now. But overall, it's been very positive. The one thing that they did say is that there's been some great momentum. They're fearful that as the stakeholders change in the C-suite as a result of the presidential transition, they're fearful of having to start all over again and build those relationships and collaboration and don't take a step back.
And I think that's a big concern, because a lot of the CIOs, I was just talking with Richard McKinney about this, are political appointees, and they will leave too. So it's not just the CFOs and the deputy secretaries, but the CIOs also are leaving. Was there any discussion about how they could keep that transition going, how they could ensure that Vitara doesn't lose momentum?
I think it comes down to operationalizing the policies and processes that the agencies use to do that. Now, there's not, you know, one policy that every agency is using, so that's really incumbent upon the agency as to how they deploy and roll it out. Some have done a very good job standing up processes to make sure that it does get memorialized and that it's being followed. But I think it's inconsistent across agencies, and we could have a bit of a setback in that area.
Related to legacy modernization, related to Vitara, is the discussion around cloud. And I really found this fascinating, because I have made a comment before that agencies have moved past the crawl stage. They're definitely into the walk stage, and they're soon into the run stage of cloud. And it seems like by your survey, that's not the case at all. It seems that the survey is showing the CIOs believe they're still in the very much the crawl stage when it comes to the cloud.
Margie Graves said it very well, that, you know, we're past the not when or if stage, and we're now into the how stage, right? So we ask CIOs to rate the maturity that they have in migrating to the cloud. And only 5% of the CIOs we spoke with were what we called 5 on that rating scale, exactly where they want to be. That was even less than last year. Last year, 8% said they're exactly where they want to be. So the adoption is happening very slowly. And this was probably one of the most surprising things to me in the survey, is that there are multiple cloud adoption blockers that CIOs still struggle with. How to manage their data, dealing with the security, figuring out how to operationalize the cloud, negotiating good contracts, many issues that they're still working to navigate through right now.
And one of the things about cloud that also popped up is whether they feel like they're in a good place to make decisions around moving to cloud. Talk a little bit about what you found about whether CIOs feel like they're getting cloud smart.
There's varying levels of, I guess, education around cloud. And I think that those of us in industry could really do a good job to help educate some of the CIO community on, you know, what works in cloud and, you know, creating some use cases to help with that migration. It becomes complicated when you start talking about, you know, moving databases into the cloud. What parts do you move? Are they ready to move? How do we do that evaluation? How do we come up with an effective plan to establish the migration and the roadmap for that? And what are we going to get when we move? You know, why are we doing that? What's the business case for it? And doing a cost study to know what improvements they're going to get from moving to the cloud. Planning process that I think is critically important. But OMB is working on a plan right now to try and identify what some of the cloud adoption blockers are and to publish a report to make it easier for agencies to move migration to the cloud more quickly.
Did CIOs at all talk about what are they believe their biggest obstacles? Did they talk anything about the security piece? We know FedRAMP is a mandate. Several agencies obviously talk about very positively about FedRAMP, but then there's also the growing concern about just security in general. Did that come up in terms of what are some of those obstacles?
I'll read a quote from the survey. My main concerns are security, interoperability, and the network, said one CIO. Another said, we don't have the right mindset to move to the cloud. We're not ready for the cultural change. Some of the procurement staff and legal staff, are not comfortable with that migration. And, what data should be put in the cloud and what shouldn't be? And how do we, rethink our architecture? Those are all things that I think agencies are trying to understand right now.
There's a ton more in here, George, but one last thing I just want to touch upon is Agile. I was impressed as well by the stage of Agile delivery, the acceptance of Agile. That seemed to be growing. Talk a little bit about what CIOs said about their use of Agile and DevOps.
We got some great progress between this year and last year. We asked CIOs the extent to which they're using Agile from not at all to it being the default in the agency. Last year, 9% of the CIOs we talked with said they weren't using it at all. This year, 0% said they weren't using it at all. So that's some good adoption. There are still some challenges with the migration to Agile. I think it's a matter of, in many agencies, they don't have a large number of staff that are really trained in how to use and deploy Agile. There's also a challenge around the metrics that are established for Agile. So how do we know if an Agile project is making progress as it should? We used to have EVM, but we need something like that for Agile projects. So those are a couple things that really jumped out. There is a move to DevOps and more integrated testing that we're seeing. We're also seeing a lot of new contracts for Agile services across agencies, proliferation of that. So I think we're going to continue to hear more about Agile in the coming year.
And finally, what's the big takeaway from this survey? We know cybersecurity, we've talked cloud, we've talked legacy systems modernization, but what's the two or three things that you would point out to that CIOs and industry really should pay attention to?
I think it goes back to some of the things that were highlighted in the priorities, and there are a lot of things that we could talk about, but I think I'll maybe pick two things out here. One is the cyber talent. There needs to be, a robust plan so that the federal government can do a better job bringing in cyber talent and retaining them and making sure they get the training they need. So that's number one. The second is legacy systems modernization. A lot of support for the bills percolating on the Hill right now. And I think that, there needs to be some support from the Hill to continue to be able to push that issue to help CIOs with the modernization and get them off of those legacy platforms where they're spending, 73 cents of every dollar keeping the old stuff running.
All right, George, I know we could talk longer, but this has been a very fascinating conversation. I really appreciate your time. As always, every year we get to catch up, and I certainly enjoy it. My guest has been George Del Preet, a principal at Grant Thornton and the leader of the 2016 Federal CIO Survey put out by Grant Thornton and the Professional Services Council. George, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Jason. Take care.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to listen for some highlights from a panel at the Tech Trends Conference featuring Margie Graves, who's on detail at OMB, Joe Klimovich, the Justice Department CIO, and Richard McKinney, the Transportation Department CIO. I'm Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. In this part of the program, we listen to excerpts from a panel discussion featuring Joe Klimovich, the Justice Department CIO, Margie Graves, who's on detail to the Office of Management and Budget's eGov office, and Richard McKinney, the Transportation Department's CIO. The panel took place at the Professional Services Council's Tech Trends Conference on September 21st and was moderated by PSC's Dave Wintergren.
Well, I'd like to center on talking about IT modernization. That is the topic that's right at the top of my mind right now, particularly because we're going through a legislative process at this moment, and then there is the appropriation side of the equation. So just because you set up the structure and the fund, this is the authorizing side of the equation. Just because you set up the structure and the bucket put money into doesn't mean that money magically arrives. So that process has to go through the normal channels also. But I wanted to talk a little bit about what it's going to be used to do and how it's going to actually operate. We recognized during the cyber sprint, as It just re-emphasized the fact that we have an aging infrastructure that makes us insecure from a cyber standpoint, but also it puts us in a paradigm where we may be operating with such outdated technology that either it's more expensive and it's driving that O&M number that George was talking about earlier to be 80% and 90% of the total equation, as well as keeping us from modernizing going forward. And then ultimately it does result in outages and mission impact and things of that nature, because you're running something that you have to keep together, sometimes with spit and chewing gum. And other than that, there's really no way out of this except through some kind of change in the way we acquire technology and some kind of change in the way we fund it. We know what is available to us, but being able to access it, being able to get it into our environments, being to have it enable the mission is another story. Beyond that, of course, we're interested in continuing to drive cybersecurity improvements. We're doing that through the adoption of CDM. We work very closely with DHS, my agency, to make sure that the implementation of that within all of the agencies is moving along as quickly as we can, because that's going to give us the visibility into our assets and our understanding of the automation of what their cybersecurity posture is at any given time. And then everything after that is about open data and open source, making sure that on the application side, the implementation of Agile, the application side, we're doing all that we can in the development arena to change the way that we deliver IT. FATARA overarches that because it's the governance by which we will make that happen. I'm heartened, sitting in my current chair, that all of these policies are getting nailed down. They're out the door. ITMF is the last one that we're trying to ensure, comes to fruition. But for the most part, we have laid out the president's agenda. And these things, in my opinion, are device agnostic. What I mean by that is they're good business practice. I don't expect that, regardless of who wins the presidential election, that anyone would argue with best practice. It may take a little bit of a different twist, it may take a little bit of a different emphasis, and they may call it something different. But for the most part, these things are things that should continue.
Thank you, Margie. And I appreciate you mentioning the Modernizing Government Technology Act, which of course combines key tenets of Congressman Hurd's Move IT Bill and Congressman Hoyer's IT Modernization Fund. And this new bill that also has the support of Congressman Chaffetz and Congressman Cummings is a bill that PSC has strongly supported. We have a lot of bipartisan support in both houses. Cloud computing comes up over and over again as a key tenet of this sort of pathway forward of IT modernization. How's cloud computing going? You had the Data Center Optimization Initiative policy that came out earlier to try to help quantify the steps forward. What would you like to see with cloud computing? And I will say, we're going to also give our other panelists a little chance to do some opening remarks, but we're going to dive them right into the mix before we get to that moment too. And so, cloud computing, what are your thoughts? What do we need to do to accelerate its adoption? And I'll ask the other panelists to join in on that question too.
It's great that you asked me that question, because actually we're at an inflection point right now. With the team that I'm working with on my staff at OMB right now, we have come to the realization that the first line that we took on this was cloud first and the encouragement of the adoption of cloud. So it's no longer a conversation about if, it's a matter about when and how. And the how is starting to become thorny, because agencies are actually trying to delve into it now, and they're running into what we're calling cloud adoption blockers. So what we're doing right now is we're talking with each of the agencies, we're trying to gather the common threads of what those blockers might be and try to solve them holistically across the federal government and provide some guidance that would allow folks to adopt these solutions going forward. Our intent with this is to ask the right questions. Are you cloud ready? Do you understand the security posture? Do you have the right clauses in place for your contracts? All of the elements that you would walk yourself through in terms of your pacing for whether or not you could be successful in actually doing this. And things that are blocking from a policy standpoint, we intend to highlight those and take care of those. I think DCOI is a companion piece to that, because it asks people to optimize the old FDCCI used to be about closing and consolidating. Now it's about optimization, and part of that optimization, of course, is moving to the cloud. We intend to get those obstacles out of the way, but we're in the beginning process of doing that.
Joe, Richard, your thoughts about accelerating cloud adoption?
I think Margie hit on all the right points. Today cloud is pretty much mainstream. Within the Department of Justice, we have about 24 cloud initiatives, but we're starting to tackle a lot of the other challenges around that in terms of how do you securely connect, how do you engineer the network to connect to the cloud. So you were talking about mobility, and how do you do this from any place, anywhere, any device, without creating additional bottlenecks, but you've got to be able to do it securely. There are a whole host of things that we are working through and maturing, and also I think standardizing and making it easier as we work through those to get those processes and solutions in place, make it easier for people to consume the rapidly growing cloud offerings today. I mean, you look at what's available today, and virtually anything is available through a cloud solution.
We have to take a break. You're listening to excerpts from a panel discussion featuring Joe Klimovich, the Justice Department's CIO, Margie Graves, who's on detail to the Office of Management and Budget's eGov office, and Richard McKinney, the Transportation Department's CIO. The panel took place at the Professional Services Council's Tech Trends Conference on September 21st and was moderated by PSC's Dave Winnegren. I'm Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. In this segment, we'll continue to listen to excerpts of a panel discussion featuring Joe Klimovich, the Justice Department CIO, Margie Graves, who's on detail to the Office of Management and Budget's eGov office, and Richard McKinney, the Transportation Department's CIO. The panel took place at the Professional Services Council's Tech Trends Conference on September 21st and was moderated by PSC's Dave Winnegren.
Joe Klimovich, CIO of the Justice Department, former CIO of NOAA, IT leader at Commerce and NGA and CIA. But I've known Joe for a long time. He's getting things done. Joe, why don't you share with the audience some of your priorities and issues?
I want to think back about different places I've worked in. This is a really exciting time to be working in federal IT space. There's a lot going on. Just to highlight a few things, we mentioned Vitara, but I think it gives CIOs unprecedented visibility into what their departments are buying and how they're doing that. The recognition that we need to modernize our legacy base within the Department of Justice. We spend $3 billion a year on IT, and honestly, I don't think we remove a whole lot of that. So you think about that year after year, there's a lot of legacy out there, and we're certainly looking forward to opportunities to move in some of that. But when you look at it, what technology do you move to? Technology is changing so rapidly on the commercial side, and I spend a lot of time trying to keep up with it. I spend a lot of time meeting with industry leaders, but it's a full-time job. Cybersecurity has finally hit mainstream. I would say most departments, most corporations, cybersecurity is the number one priority for CIOs. It has to be, and you don't have to spend a lot of time trying to get your department leadership to understand that cybersecurity is very important. And we are seeing more and more funding going into this area. That's great. We're now talking about solutions versus is it something we need to focus in on. Cloud, as we mentioned earlier, is rapidly maturing. Sensors are ubiquitous. This Internet of Things, and you might not think Department of Justice is impacted too much by this, but this creates a tremendous amount of information that we've got to ingest and handle, and we're seeing an exponential growth in information. And then our workforce and our customers are all mobile, and our service delivery needs to move along with that as being part of the equation. So with all this change, there are a lot of new opportunities, and I think the IT modernization is one of the top opportunities. How do we fund the modernization? How do we move code, software, and data from legacy programs to the future ones? We still run a lot of mainframe operations and applications, and everything's working great, but it's not optimal. And so how do we move off of mainframes to more parallel high-speed computing, cybersecurity, and I've talked about these things before, but I think the unstructured data and how do we manage that? How do we make sure that unstructured data is not leaving our environment? The security operations centers are being inundated with information, and so how do you build tools, bring tools in to quickly give you that common operating picture about what's bad and where do you need to pay attention? Building security into the hardware and making applications of it, taking advantage of those of the hardware that's built into, or the security is built in the hardware. Micro-virtualization, micro-segmentation, data poisoning or data integrity is huge. And also the whole cyber, with agility and DevOps, where you're delivering significant new capability every 3 months into your production environment. Well, how do you make sure that's secure? Data is a big challenge, data management, data analytics, but we also need to ensure that not only end-to-end data integrity, but data chain of custody is preserved as we go to court with this information. Uploading and being able to ingest large amounts of information from multimedia, a lot of different places around the country, is a huge challenge for us. And then if you think about the cloud, you got maybe data stored in one location, your applications are running in another, maybe your compute is in a third location. How do you bring it all together to make it work seamlessly? And the last one, I guess, is the workforce. And I don't know how you tackle any of these challenges without a good workforce. But the hiring process remains complex, although we've taken advantage of a lot of the special hiring authorities. Competitive pay is huge for us, not only with compared to the private sector, but also with other agencies. And just finding individuals who want to come and work for the government, even if it is for a short amount of time. But I would say it's not just limited to the IT specialties. We are critically dependent on contracting officers to get things awarded. And I would say that the acquisition professionals and the governors in critical short supply is some of your IT professionals. So.
Thank you, Joe. You and the Justice Department team have been leaders in the data field in trying to help align and make it easier to share data. And is there anything that you'd like to add about where you're seeing progress in making better use of data across federal, state, local, and how can we move it forward? What needs to happen next in data sharing efforts?
Well, we've made a lot of progress in data interoperability and data sharing, but a lot of it's been localized to a particular problem set. And I think one thing I've been trying to do is try to figure out an overarching strategy, schema, ontology and how we handle information. A lot of our information comes in from other departments. HHS gives us a lot of information. We receive a lot of information from the IRS, tax data. Just about every other agency provides tremendous amounts of information. And how do we bring it all together? How do we ensure that the same cyber controls that, say, the IRS would treat, or Census would treat, or Health and Human Services would treat that information with, we inherit those controls.
So cybersecurity has got to be on everybody's mind all the time. And so are there areas where you're seeing improvements that we should be excited about? And what should we make sure we're focusing our time and attention on?
A couple of the tenets of the Cybersecurity National Action Plan. One of those Joe mentioned that is so critical is the hiring and the pipeline of talent. So within the plan, what we are stating is that there needs to be a conversation that occurs as early as grade school. As you get these folks into the equation, you start helping them understand what cybersecurity is, how it could be a career. Kids are already working with technology by that point. They should be able to understand this. They certainly can understand a lot today. My estimation is that we're following the construct of working with NIST and what they were calling the NICE structure, which actually describes what the particular kinds of skill set should be. And we're also working through the hiring authorities. And I know we recently held a job event at DHS where we came together as the entire agency and we looked for cyber hires, and we were successful in working that entire process. It was so successful that we brought it to the CIO Council so that people could adopt that approach. The second part is, that's the people part of the equation. The technology side of the equation, we're of course centered on the kinds of tools and the kinds of visibility and the kind of adoption that you would get from the CDM program. We recently held what I would call a customer forum, and these two gentlemen to my left participated, where the customers came in and talked about what their particular pathway was to the adoption of CDM and things that needed to change within the program, within the tool sets, within the training, anything that needs to be enabling them to get to the finish line. And as you can imagine, every agency is in a slightly different position in terms of what they already had on the ground and the cybersecurity visibility that they already had versus what CDM brings to the table. And how do you make those two mesh? How do you make best use of your collective dollars between the agency investments and the CDM investments to get the full complement of capabilities covered for your agency? And that's no easy task. It takes a lot of planning. It takes a lot of coordination. It takes a lot of interaction with DHS. And then, of course, knowing your own environment, knowing where the blockers are.
That's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to excerpts from a panel discussion featuring Joe Klimovich, the Justice Department CIO, Margie Graves, who's on detail to OMB's eGov office, and Richard McKinney, the Transportation Department CIO. The panel took place at the Professional Services Council's Tech Trends Conference on September 21st and was moderated by PSC's Dave Wintergren. I'm Jason Miller.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.